Good morning, everybody. Morning. We were just laughing there because I was raring to go after that song, and Carden had to remind me we had to wait for the reading. I was ready to get up on the stage and get ripping. Okay, so we're continuing with our series on Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. Last week we heard of how Gabriel came to Mary, didn't we? And told her this wonderful good news of the things that were going that was going to happen to her. So we're thinking over this series really of how Mary is contrary to what we might expect. What we might expect of her as a young teenager, of what we might expect of her as a woman of her time, and so on. But in this part of the story, we have Mary and Elizabeth. And they're two quite unlikely women, aren't they? They're unexpected choices. But each of them carries this really unexpected, unlikely divine promise. Here we have Mary, who's a young teenage mother. Okay, she's unwed. She's insignificant, really, in society's time. And then we have Elizabeth, who is an elderly woman. Who has carried a bit of shame because in that time, in society of the time, a woman's primary function was to bear children. And she hadn't been able to do that with her husband. So there are these two very unlikely, unlikely choices, yet they hold these promises. Mary carries the promised Messiah, and Elizabeth carries the promised messenger. As I was reading this, there were a couple of threes that came up in this, so I thought I would point them out. We have three unexpected things that happen, and we have three blessings that Elizabeth prophesies over Mary. So we'll start with our unexpected. So the first one is, Mary makes this really unexpected journey, doesn't she? The first thing she does after she hears from the angel Gabriel is she gets up. She gets up and she visits Elizabeth. It's the first thing she does. And it goes to show just how maybe curious Mary is, because when Gabriel had come and spoken to her the first time, she said, "How can this be? Because I am a virgin. How could this possibly happen?" And then she goes to fulfill her curiosity again, doesn't she? To see how Elizabeth is doing. She's surprised, obviously, to hear Gabriel say that Elizabeth, an elderly woman's in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So she gets up and she goes to visit her. And this is unexpected because in those days, young women wouldn't have even gone to the well unaccompanied. They wouldn't have gone anywhere unaccompanied. They wouldn't have even left the village. So for her to travel 100 miles to visit her cousin was really quite an unexpected thing to happen. It would be kind of like us just waving cheerio and walking to Dublin over 3 days by ourselves, sleeping out under the stars. We can't take the A1 or the M50. That's how unexpected it was. So she goes and she seeks confirmation, doesn't she, of what she's heard from the angel Gabriel. Maybe she seeks a bit of comfort from another woman who's gone through this really quite unexpected thing, this unexpected experience. And because if what Gabriel has said about Elizabeth, Elizabeth's in her sixth month of pregnancy, okay, the holder of this divine promise, if that's true, then what Gabriel has said to Mary must also be true. So she goes to fulfill this curiosity. She takes this unlikely journey to see what really is going on. And she receives an unexpected response then, doesn't she? She receives an unexpected response from Elizabeth. Before Mary even tells her, Elizabeth knows, doesn't she? She knows that Mary is pregnant. She knows that she's expecting. These two really surprising things happen. She knows, first of all, that Mary is pregnant before Mary even tells her. All Mary has done is greet Elizabeth, and already Elizabeth knows. And second of all, what happens? The bump jumps. The baby inside Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. How on earth does this happen? It's by the Holy Spirit. We're told suddenly Elizabeth was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And with a loud voice, she prophesied with power. Elizabeth is moved by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit at work within her. She's prompted by it. It's almost as if she's got a word of knowledge from the Spirit. She knows that Mary has been blessed by God. She knows that the fruit of Mary's womb is blessed. And she knows that Mary carries the Messiah. She carries Elizabeth's Lord. And what about the baby then in Elizabeth's womb? What about John? We hear how immediately when Elizabeth hears the voice of Mary, John moves within Elizabeth's womb. John in Elizabeth's belly recognizes Christ in Mary's. And it's a fulfillment of the words of Gabriel to Zechariah, isn't it? Gabriel told him, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." John's reaction to Mary and the child in her womb demonstrates the fact that Gabriel's prophecy, Gabriel's words to Zechariah, have been realized. That even before his birth, John is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a confirmation, again, of the Holy Spirit at work here in this short passage. It's just the beginning of the work God's going to do over these next passages, this next part of the story. He's fulfilling his word, and this bit is a confirmation of that. So we have our unexpected journey, we have our unexpected response, and we have our unexpected confirmation. Elizabeth receives this amazing confirmation from Elizabeth. Mary receives this amazing confirmation from Elizabeth. Getting all mixed up, these two names. Gabriel came to Mary, didn't he? And he said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What does Elizabeth say to Mary? She says this, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." How does this confirm what Gabriel has told Mary? Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women." Gabriel says, "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of the Most High." Elizabeth says, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" So what Gabriel says and what Elizabeth says confirms the other. Elizabeth confirms the divinity of the child that Mary carries. She confirms that the blessing that's over Mary and the place where this blessing comes from, doesn't she? And it's not the only time that we hear prophecies about the coming of Christ. We'll hear lots over Advent, especially at our nine lessons and carols, don't we? We hear passages from Micah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi. Here the words are spoken about the life and ministry of Christ, the promise of God's Son, the promise he makes to us about the coming of his Son as a little baby. And this confirmation that Mary hears from Elizabeth got me thinking about how we have confirmation, how God confirms things in our lives. How does God confirm and affirm his promises in our lives? What do we have in our hands? Don't we have the Word of God, don't we? The Word of God speaks to us. It tells us of his promises to us. In prayer, we receive confirmation through godly friends and family, just like Mary heard from Elizabeth speaking into her life. Through community, through circumstances, through coincidences, those little things that happen, you think, my friend calls them God incidences rather than coincidences. They're like things, you know, if you read something, it's happened, I'm sure it's happened to most of us or some of us. You read something maybe in God's Word one day, and then the next day, somebody random that you happen to meet confirms it or brings it up, or something happens twice in one week and you think that has to be from God. Those little God incidences are confirmation from Him in our lives, and it happens in really unlikely ways, doesn't it? It happens in really unlikely ways. The moment that I knew that God had confirmed His calling on my life, I was sitting on the floor of a kitchen in a community centre in a village in the middle of Cavan. And it was the most unlikely place. It was not what I expected that day, but that was the moment that God chose to confirm His calling on my life. Those really strange little ways that God speaks in the unexpected. And I wonder if we ever expect the unexpected. Do we expect God to work in unexpected ways? As Gabriel told Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Isaiah 55:8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord." Are we prepared to see the predictable give way to the unpredictable? We certainly see this in the life of Mary and Elizabeth, don't we? Two very unlikely women, two unexpected women, who bear these divine promises. And through them, we hear, basically, the good news of Christ, the messenger and the Messiah, come from these two women. And just quickly, we'll look at the three blessings that I talked about at the beginning. Elizabeth, we're told, prophesies with power, okay, loudly. If you ever watch, and there will be on TV, the lives and the birth narratives of Christ are shown on DVD and they're on the TV and whatever. And I was watching a couple of them. And Elizabeth, the interaction between Elizabeth and Mary is always depicted as Elizabeth sitting, you know, very heavily pregnant, very lethargically sitting outside under the shade. And she says, oh. And it's this sort of like very insipid. I think that's not right. What we're told here is she prophesied loudly, all right? She might be 6 months pregnant, but she's, you know, she's prophesying loudly. Not in this very insipid, sort of vapid way that we see in these sort of movies and things. Might write a strongly worded letter at some point. But she prophesies loudly. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed. When she says, blessed are you among women, she's not saying, blessed are you above women, above everybody else. Blessed are you among women. So we honor Mary as a mother of Christ, but we don't exalt her. We honor her as an ordinary person, an ordinary young teenager who's used in this extraordinary way. She's blessed among women. When Elizabeth says, blessed is the fruit of your womb, her words recognize the child that Mary carries as being the Son of God. Being the Son of God. So blessed then is the fruit, the child that will come from Mary's womb. And then we have this beautiful verse, don't we? Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. And ladies, you might recognize this verse, that it's used a lot in sort of female-orientated Christian products. It's on little plaques that you can buy to give to people, or it's inside cards, or we use it at big events and so on. It's this beautiful verse. And the word that you, Elizabeth uses for blessed in this bit is makaria, which we could also translate as happy. And it's actually the word that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes. So when He says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We could also say, happy are those who are pure in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So blessed is she who believed. Happy is she who believed. Mary has this beautiful attitude of joy. And next week when we look at Mary's song, we will see that. When she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Happy is she who believes that God will fulfil his promise to her. And for Elizabeth, this must be a really striking comparison, okay? Because Gabriel spoke to Mary, but he also spoke to Zechariah, didn't he? And did Zechariah believe what he heard? He doubted it, didn't he? And he was struck dumb. Couldn't speak until the day that John was born. But then we have Mary, who responds in this incredibly joyful and believing sort of way. So for Elizabeth, she sees these two very different reactions, doesn't she? And I wonder, are we happy in the knowledge that the Lord will fulfill his promises to us? Isaiah 54 says that even if the mountains heave up from their anchors and the hills quiver and shake, I will not desert you. You can rely on my enduring love. My covenant of peace will stand forever. Hebrews 6 reminds us of the faithfulness of Abraham when it says, remember when God made his promise to Abraham? God, he had to swear by himself, there being no one greater. Okay, so God had to swear by himself because there's no one greater than God. He said, surely I will bless you and multiply your descendants. And after Abraham had endured with patience, he obtained the promise he had hoped for. We are blessed and happy when we hold on to God's promises. And it is difficult. There are times in life where that is incredibly difficult. But God is working out his purposes and his promises in each of our lives. So we're blessed and happy when we hold on to these. And even if we are holding on by our fingertips, when we believe and trust that God will fulfill his promises to us, just as Mary believed and just as was fulfilled in her life. So just to sum up, do we expect the unexpected? Mary made an unexpected journey. There was an unexpected response that she received, and she received unexpected confirmation. And then Elizabeth gives us these three unexpected and surprising blessings. Mary is blessed among women. The fruit of her womb is blessed. And Mary then is happy, blessed, because she believed that God would fulfill her promises to her. God works out his promises. His promises will be fulfilled in unexpected and unpredictable ways, as we see in the story of Christmas. And we need to hold on to these. We need to be prepared to see the predictable give way to the unpredictable, just as we see in the lives of Elizabeth and Mary this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you assure us in your word that you work in unexpected and unpredictable ways, in ways that we cannot even fathom or imagine. And Lord, we thank you for the excitement and the journey and of adventure there is in that. But Lord, assure us this morning that you will keep your promises to us, just as you did to Elizabeth and to Mary. That even if we are holding on by our fingertips, we can trust in you to keep your promises to us. So Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon each one of us and inspire our worship as we stand to sing. We pray all these things in your Son's precious name.